Bible's open, let's turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 105. Psalms, chapter 105. You find that place, you able to, let's stand. I was sitting here thinking, and this don't have nothing to do with the message, I just feel like telling it. But I was thinking about what Misty said about somebody that's, maybe in that place of hospice and all that sort of thing. And I've thought about some of the most special people that I've visited over these years. Has always been folks that's had, they've got Alzheimer's and they can't remember much. But I never have talked to, not one time have I ever talked to one of them about the Lord, that they've been saved, that they forgot about the Lord. Not one time. I don't know how many I've asked. They didn't know who you was. They didn't know who was around them. But you said, hey, could you tell me about when you got born again? And just all of a sudden, just like that, like that fog lifted up off their eyes, and they just started rehearsing it just like they ever have. And I was sitting here thinking, one of my favorite memories of that was happened to be with Miss Chet. And I got thinking about going over there and talking to her and all those times. And probably the last time I went and visited, Brother James was with me, and I don't remember who else was there. But we was all there, and we was talking to her, and she knew who I was, and she didn't know who Brother James was. And I could tell it bothered him. And then we started praying. And, of course, you know how James is, started praying, talking to the Lord. And when he got done, she said, James, is that you? Boy, I know you've heard that, but it made me happy all over sitting right there tonight. I'm glad they don't forget the things of God. I've told my boys, and listen, y'all think this is heartless or whatever. I've told my boys, hey, listen, if I get Alzheimer's, don't you worry about me. Go put me off in a nursing home somewhere. Don't even worry about me. I won't remember it. And God's got me. Amen. Thank God, that's right. I believe that's right. You just dump me off when I'm in my right mind. Leave a Bible with me. I'll read it. And when I ain't going to remember it nohow. Amen. Going to be a day, friend. Listen, I'm just a short while here, and then I'm going over there. And thank God, you don't have to be sad for me in that state, friend. I done made my call and election sure when I was in my right mind. Thank God. I mean, listen, if you don't remember not one message that I've ever preached, the best I remember about the scripture, we're to come, we're to live, get born again, preach Christ, share the gospel, die, and let everybody forget about us. Amen. Just remember Jesus. Some of y'all didn't like that, but that is right. Listen, if the Lord lets us stay for 150 years from now, nobody's going to remember any of us. And that's okay. It's all right. Just remember Christ. Amen. Psalms 105. Well, I already feel good to be in the house of God. Psalms 105. I'm going to rehearse one of my favorite stories. And then there's a verse in here that snuck up on me I didn't see coming. This is not what I intended to preach today. And this morning I got up and God got to burn this in my heart. And every time I try to get away from it, I really felt like the Lord have us to do this. And I'll just do the best I can to follow him. And you pray God to help us. All right. Verse 26, Bible says this, Psalms 105, said he sent Moses his servant and Aaron whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood, and he slew their fish. He said their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their kings. He spake, and there came divers sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and a flaming fire in their land. Yeah. He smote their vines. I do like that real good, honestly. He said he smote their vines also and their fig trees, and he brake their trees of their coasts. He spake, and the locusts came, and the caterpillars, and that without number, and did eat up all the herbs in their land, and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. Notice verse 37 says this, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribe. I want to read that last verse one more time. We're going to pray, and you ask the Lord to help us. Verse 37 said, he brought them forth also with silver and gold. And it said, now I want you to notice this. He said, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you tonight. And to God, we sure are thankful to get to be back in the house of God. And the Lord, to say that we're happy to be here would be a vast understatement. But God, I pray just being happy will not be good enough. Father, we sure need a good touch of God on the service tonight. I thank you for the good songs that's already been sang. I thank you, God, for what I can feel in my heart. And God, I'm glad it's real. I'm glad, thank God, Lord, today I don't have to have nobody, Lord, to prod our heart. I don't have to be primed up. Father, I thank God, Lord, tonight that, Lord, that we're not a siphon hose. We ain't got to be blowed in and sucked out, God, to get something to come to the top. God, I'm glad there's a well down on the inside. And God, every now and again it bubbles up. I pray for a few minutes of time tonight, God, you'd help us to say only the things you'd have us to say. And God, put a God in my mouth, help me not to say anything that I ought not. Lord, I sure love you. And I pray, God, if tonight, if it's the last night I ever get to say anything, I pray, Lord, help me to say the best thing that I ever have said about you. Lord, I sure love you tonight. I bless your high and holy name. And for it's in Christ's name I humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. You may say that. I'm interested. And I don't know where this, I don't know how many times I've been through this Bible and how many times I've been through this book. But I noticed something in verse 37 that I don't guess I ever had hardly just seen before. And that's what he said. There was not one feeble person among their tribe. And now, you know, I'm a Bible believer, thank God. And if the Bible says there's not one, and then you know what I feel about that. I believe there's probably not one. Amen. And now listen, in the book of Numbers chapter 1, and we've got a count there over in the, that tells us how many footmen that they had. That's 605,000, I think. 550 men. It's in verse number 21. He said those who were numbered of them, even of the tribe of Reuben, 46,500. And then he continues on all the way through there until he finishes the whole census. And the Bible said in verse 45, he said, so all those numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their 20 years old and upward, all that able to go forth into war, even all they that were numbered, were 600,000, 3,550. Amen. That's a pretty good count, I'd say. Amen. That's 603,550. And not one feeble person in the whole lot of them. Amen. And now listen, that's not all of them, thank God. That's just the footmen. We don't have no idea how many there is total. But what I can say to you is this. Wherever they was at from start to finish, there was not one feeble person. Amen. And now just think about that. I mean, listen, friend, they wasn't not one old person that had a limp. There wasn't not one young person that could not keep up. And that means they never tottered. They never teetered. They never failed. They wasn't one person stumbled. And they were all in their strength. I mean, now that's impressive, thank God. If we got up tonight and I let you pick out the first 1.5 million people, I promise you there'd be a bunch of lame. I promise you there'd be folks in our number. And they would be feeble. But not in the camp of God. Amen. And now listen to me, friend, where we stand at tonight. And not one feeble person in the whole thing. Amen. And I'm not going to, I want you to read this with me, and I'll try to preach the message the best I can. Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. I want you to watch what the Bible says here. Zechariah chapter 12, talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not at his second appearing, but thank God at his second coming. When he comes all the way down to the earth, amen. And when he comes to rule and to reign and set up his kingdom. And that's the coming I'm talking about right here, amen. And in chapter number 12, that's what the Bible says, verse number 8. He said, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, amen. And so here's what you find. Thank God when they came up out of Egypt, and the Bible very specifically records and wants you to understand that there was not one feeble person that came up out of that place. I mean, they all came up, thank God. And then all of a sudden you fast forward to the end and you get over here at the second coming of Christ, and God says even those that looked like they were feeble, they were like David, amen. In other words, David wasn't feeble, thank God. And so here's what I can tell you, at the beginning they weren't feeble, and at the end they weren't feeble either. Amen. And now I don't know about the middle part, but all I know is this. It looks like this thing ends the same way it started out. Amen. I'm glad to report to you today that what I got when I got born again, and by the good grace of God, it'll end up the same way it started out. I am not working my way. I'm not feeling my way. Hey, listen, thank God. I want to tell you this. I ain't even one half, have one tenth, have one 1,000% worried about whether God can keep me. Amen. Oh, he can. Thank God. He's more than able. I'm telling you, thank God, if God wasn't able to keep us. And you say, preacher, I don't know if you do this or if you do that. I'm going to tell you this, good neighbor. If I didn't think God could keep me, I wouldn't even committed my soul to him. Amen. I just tried to do it the best way I could. I thank God you didn't have 50% to do with it. You didn't have 50% to get saved. And you ain't got 90% trying to live it out. I think we ought to do what's right. Amen. I think God makes a new creature in us. It's new desires on the inside. We want to be holy. We want to live godly, soberly, and righteously. But thank God, whether I do or whether I don't, has no standing or bearing on what Christ did. Amen. He done it all. Thank God. That's why it's Christ plus nothing. Amen. Ain't that good tonight? Thank God. It'll help some folks smile a little bit. I'm sure the reason so many Baptists are miserable is they're trying to keep their own salvation. And the first time they figure out that they ain't got to keep it, and thank God there'll be something on the inside that starts smiling all the way out. Amen. It is good to be saved. Amen. And thank God. Thank God. And so I'm saying this tonight. If the Lord will help me, I'd like to preach on this song. And we're going to finish just like we started. And no feeble person to start with. And no feeble person to end with. I thought about this. It's almost like that God was preparing them for that day. It's almost like, thank God, that God had a calendar in his mind. That God had a date set up in his heart. And he was preparing the people of God for that day that they're getting ready to get out of Egypt. Amen. I tell you what I think, thank God. I think God's preparing the people. Amen. It's not going to be very long, thank God. I hope it's not. Amen. I can say like John the Revelator say, even so, come Lord Jesus. I hope Christ comes back tonight. Amen. I mean, thank God. Listen, I hope he splits the eastern sky. I hope, thank God, that he descends from heaven with a shout. I hope today's our last day on earth and tomorrow's all of our first day in heaven. And I hope you're going with us. Amen. And if not, thank God, listen, you can finish the house I'm building. You can drive my car to get there. You can come have church right here if you want to. But the big church will have already exited the building. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. I'm telling you, friend, we come this place. I got to thinking about everything God done to get his people ready for that day. In Exodus chapter number 1, I'm going to preach a little bit, not long. I'll try not to preach long, but I'll make you no promises tonight. I'm saying this, friend. I got thinking about how God had not forgot what he promised. How Moses tried to jump the gun. He was about 40 years too early on God's calendar. God had a set time. He had a set calendar, and Moses tried to mess it up. And so he had to take Moses and he had to hide him over in the wilderness. And for 40 years he said, I am going to use you. How about you got out of the will of God and trying to move just a little too early. Amen. But in 40 years, thank God, and when it was right on time, and God sent them down to deliver. Amen. I believe God still got it in his mind. I believe for God ever fashioned the earth, he knew when his first coming would be. He knows when the second appearing will be. He knows when the second coming will be. He knows, thank God, everything that ever has been. I believe he knew it all from before there was ever time. Amen. And so I'll say this to you. Watch this Bible. I mean, in Exodus chapter number 1, I find that God was doing something for his people, and he was doing something for them separately. In verse 7 it says, and the children of Israel, and they were fruitful, and they increased abundantly, and they multiplied, and they waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Amen. I mean, thank God, there's down in Egypt, and there's oppressed on every side. But every one of those are good adjectives. Amen. He was doing just fine. time, thank God. And don't tell nobody, but we're doing okay, amen. And we're doing all right, thank God. I mean, don't let nobody know it, but thank God. And there's a joy down in my heart, and it's unspeakable and full of glory. And the Bible's doing just fine, and God's doing just fine, and the church is doing just fine. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, everything in the kingdom of heaven, it's running right on time, and it's doing just fine, amen. And so he's doing something for them separately. But then I thought about what you see down in verse number 12. And the Bible says this. It says, but the more they afflicted them, and the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. I thought, I'm sure glad he's preparing us at the commencement. He done something for us separately. He done something for us specially, amen. Ain't it amazing? Now look up here, neighbor. Ain't it amazing, thank God, that the more you're afflicted, that the more you grow in this thing, that the more hell you fight, and the more heaven God puts on the inside. Ain't that an amazing thing? And that you're standing on the outside. Amen. I feel a little bit like running right there, amen, honestly. But ain't it amazing that we stand right here, and that whenever you wake up tomorrow, if everything's going all right, you'll probably do what you've done today. But the more you're oppressed on the outside, and the more there's a squeezing, and the more there's an affliction. And said every time they tried to afflict them, and they just kept on growing, amen. And you know what happens to the people of God today? And the more we're afflicted, and the more we grow, amen. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, it's a good thing. And thank God what God's doing for his people, amen. And so we find he's doing something for them separately. And then I see he's doing something for them specially. I thought about this. I'm glad he's doing something for them sovereignly. Amen. And they're getting ready to leave here. And before they do, he said, I'm going to send you something. You go read that too. You go read how it works. And this is the way that thing works out. First of all, Moses needed to know he was the Lord. And then the children of Israel need to know he was the Lord. And then the Bible teaches us that Pharaoh would know he's the Lord. And before it's all said and done, it said, and Egypt shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. And so thank God, I'm glad sometimes that when we're in this world, but we're not of it, what we find is a taste of God in heaven, and he's doing something down on the inside of our soul. And just to remind us, he is still in control. Amen. And thank God, he don't need your help, and he don't need mine. Amen. And we ain't got to micromanage God. Thank God. I'm telling you, God has got it. Amen. Oh, yes, you say, preacher, it don't feel like he's got it. It feels like I'm going through hard bondage and rigor. And thank God, I'll tell you what God's doing for it. And listen to me, y'all listen to me real good. You know what God's doing for his people right here? And that's going through hard bondage and rigor. He's putting a desire down on the inside of their heart to leave off of Egypt and to head out into the Canaan land. And look here, I'm telling you, thank God. And listen, there's a time they complain about it to each other. But then came that time they stopped crying to each other and they started crying out to God. They said, we're tired of this place, and we're tired of Egypt, and we're tired of the bricks, and we're tired of Pharaoh, and we're tired of Goshen, and we're tired of everything here, and we sure would like to go to that place that you promised us way back there. And God said, well, since you started crying to me, it's about time that I get you out of here. And while they are doing that, and they got to looking around. Listen, this might not make no, this may not bother you none. But Brother Wayne, they got to looking around, and they say, when's the last time somebody was sick in the land of Israel? We ain't got nobody got no pneumonia, and there ain't no colds, and there's nobody down in a sick bed. Everybody, as far as I can tell, is stronger than they ever have been. What in the world's going on? And there was something going on the inside of their heart that they did not know was coming, but God was preparing them for a mass exit. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God, God was getting them ready to leave. Amen. Yeah. Oh, yes, amen. And so you find that they had to figure it out sovereignly. But then, thank God, supernaturally, God started doing something for them that nobody ever done. In Exodus chapter 12, I can't preach that whole story, but you all know it real well. And thank God, Exodus 12, the blood's on the doorpost, and it's put down on the lintel, amen. And now listen, there's so many things that you preach about that, and this is one of my favorite doors, amen, the whole world. That's right here, thank God. I thought there's doors.
there's blood on it, amen. I know, listen, don't nobody, you know, you remember, they probably half of you wasn't ever here when I preached that message. Have a boy, I had that plastic sitting up here. You remember it, don't you, Brother Bill? I had that plastic. My brother Huey Hines was right there. He was having him a time that day, amen. And I had that plastic there. And I put that up here and it started dripping down. It started dripping down. Boy, I'm telling you, I wasn't planning on that, but the Holy Ghost got to helping me, amen. And you know what happens, dear neighbor? And when they went through that door, I believe they got the blood on them, amen. And then he said, go over there and eat that lamb. He said, you roast it, don't eat it, sodden it all. And so they had the lamb on them and they had the lamb in them. Hey, listen, thank God. If that don't make you happy, ain't nothing going to. And when you get the lamb on you and you get the lamb in you, hey, you ain't got to worry about Egypt no more. God's going to take you out of here. Amen. Thank God. I don't know what was behind them. I don't know what was before them. But I'm telling you, thank God it did not matter. Amen. And when they passed through that matrix, and when they went through that door, and that blood was all around them, and there was one feller said, listen, you look at that thing. There was blood on it. Now, preacher, I know. These folks say you have to come under the blood. I'm telling you, thank God you got to go through the blood. Amen. And they, oh, yes. Amen. And so the picture of the door. It was blood on the top, blood on the bottom, blood on the side. You got to go through the blood to get where you're going. Amen. God was getting them ready. God was getting them ready. Amen. I'm going to tell you this. Ain't it absolutely amazing? And that despite all of the service they had, and they wasn't not one broke down back. Amen. You watch folks that come in here and work. Amen. Not people like, you know, I mean, listen, you watch some of these. You watch Brother Doug walk in. He's been bending down so long, amen. And he's got maybe one or two knees replaced, however many it is. He didn't have no knee replacements in Egypt, amen. How you know what folks done when they worked like that? They had broke backs and they had torn shoulders and all of that. But now think about it for a minute. Have they have been in bondage? They've been brick masons. Have they been wore out? Yeah. They've been whipped every day and still not one feeble person in the whole lot. That don't even make sense, amen. I mean, I wish to God I could get you to see it, but it don't even make sense, amen. Having in this whole crew, I mean, despite how beat down they was, and they went home, and oh, and listen, Sister Allison looked at old Brother Kevin, the old Israelite down in Egypt, and she said, honey, they beat the tar out of you today. How you feeling? And I just stretched out, and I said, honestly, I feel pretty good, amen. I don't know what to tell you. And she said, look like they bashed you in the head with a few bricks. And they did, amen. Looked like that hurt your neck. Well, it did for a second. But it's a feeling all right now, amen. I don't know how to explain it to you. But all I'm saying is this. When it came time to leave, there was not one feeble person in the whole lot, amen. Well, that's something. Now listen, maybe that don't do it for you, all right? I'm just telling you, thank God they wasn't not one feeble person in that whole crowd. Now listen, if we were to take off right now, we'd have to worry about some folks in our room, amen. We'd have to worry about some folks keeping up. And we'd have to worry about some folks slowing down. We'd have to take care, and it's a right thing. We take care of our young and we take care of our old, amen. But I'm telling you, thank God, listen, wouldn't it be something all of a sudden you see Gavin take off, and he's worried about Maggie, but she's got the strength of a grown woman and not feeble at all, amen. And she said, I can make this crossing by myself, amen. I'm telling you, thank God, everything God give you, and when he gave it to you, whether it was 7 or 70, it is enough, amen, and to get you in. Thank God. How God saved you and made you new and put all of heaven down on the inside. You weren't feeble when he saved you, amen, and you'll not die feeble neither, amen. I'm telling you, thank God you'll end up just the way you started, thank God. Oh, yes, listen, they're in that place. I got thinking about this. Now, watch this. They walked out of that place, no feebleness. I can't even explain how this thing works exactly. All I know is that despite the sicknesses, They weren't feeble despite the season of their life. They weren't feeble despite how hard they served. They weren't feeble. Now, none of this makes no sense. You understand that? None of it makes sense. And at some point in time, you would think, Davis, and everybody would look around and say, how come nobody here is feeble? And listen, they look, got to look, and everybody's reverse aging, and their body's doing better than it ever has been. They say, reckon why everybody's all of a sudden, everybody's doing real good. It's almost like God had a path, God had a plan, and God knew just exactly what they would need. And without them even realizing what they would need, God was already doing it for them. Amen. And now listen to me, friend. I feel like preaching right there for a while, honestly. But how many of you can relate to the fact there's been a many times in your life that you didn't even know what was coming your way, but when you look back on it, you've seen God was preparing you for every step of the way. Amen. Ain't that something? Ain't that just like God? Like God, I mean, God just... And then you look back and you say, you know, I didn't know why that happened. And I didn't know why that happened. And I didn't know why that happened. But now that all this has happened, I understand why that happened. Amen. Thank God. I'm saying this to you. When the commencement, they start off and nobody's feeble. But then all of a sudden we find in the course, there are a few folks get feeble. Watch what your Bible says. And I just want you to watch how quickly this thing can change. I'm going to try not to labor you too long tonight. I've done already been teased about a little bit by Brother Kevin. He said, I figured I might have need to pack me a lunch or go visit something. You said you ain't got to preach here in a couple weeks. Here's what the Bible says, Deuteronomy 25, verse 18. He said, or verse 17, remember what Amalek did to thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Now here's my question. Have they all start off, nobody's feeble. How about now all of a sudden something, there's a bunch of them that's feeble. What happened? Amen. What happened? What happened to them? They started off not one feeble soul, Dustin. Not one feeble person. And 603,550 footmen. But now all of a sudden there's some feeble people. And the feeble people get attacked. How did they get feeble? What happened? They didn't start that way. And the Bible says when they left, nobody was feeble. Amen. But then they got feeble. How many of us, we be honest with ourselves? How many, we start off, they wasn't nobody feeble when they got saved. You couldn't get enough of the Bible. You couldn't get enough of church. You couldn't get enough of prayer. You couldn't get enough of God. Amen. But then all of a sudden you live life for a little while and then you start getting weary and faint and feeble. Amen. Here's what the Bible says, Exodus 17. You look here with me real quick and I'll try to be fast. And thank God. Listen, one fellow told me the other day, he said, I wish you quit saying that. He said, you just take as long as you want. If I took as long as I want, you'd be here for a month and a half. You better be careful with that, neighbor. In the book of Exodus chapter 17, here's what we find, verse number 8. He said, then came Amalek. So something happened in chapter 17 down to verses 1 through 7 that made them feeble. Here's the first thing I can find. They get there and they ain't got no water in verse 1. So in verse 2, the Bible says, wherefore the people did chide with Moses. I'll tell you what'll get you feeble and faint and weary in this thing. When you start leaning on the wrong person, amen. Thank God. Listen, you start leaning on the wrong person and you'll get faint, amen. Don't lean on Brother Creston. Look here, don't lean on your pastor, amen. I'll tell you what'll happen. I'll buckle under the weight of it, amen. But I'm glad God teaches us that we can lean on him, amen. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I like old Pooch 359. At leaning on Jesus, at leaning on Jesus. Thank God, thank God. I swear I'm glad tonight that we ain't got to lean on flesh and blood. We can lean on God, amen. You start leaning on flesh and blood and you're going to get feeble in this thing, amen. I'll promise you this. If I ain't let you down by now, you just hang around here a little while longer. And I'm going to. Amen. I'll promise you I will. I promise you. You say, how do you know that? I'll let Kevin down every day. Amen. Ain't been not one day ever passed by. And I said, man, I wish that hadn't happened. Amen. I've let myself down too many times for you to have too much confidence in me. I'm just saying this, thank God. And now I want to be your preacher. I want to do the best I can. I ain't make no excuses. Amen. But I'm telling you, you better look a little further than me, thank God, and rest on Christ. Amen. Rest on Christ. I'll try to help you. I'm getting to where when folks call me and they say, preacher, they say, listen, they say, we need some help. I want to help everybody. Y'all understand that? I mean, I want to, but my first question is, have you talked to the Lord about it? Amen. Now listen, if I'm second, I'll take it. Amen. I'll take it, thank God. But I ain't no pope, amen. I don't want to be first, amen. I don't look here. I know in the independent Baptist churches we got too many folks. Hey, stand up and they want to be the dictator, the diatrophies. Hey, want everybody to look at them and come to them. I know one fellow that legitimately, hey, listen, this is crazy, friend. But his congregation brings to him their checkbook and he helps them balance it. That's insane, amen. I do not want to be that involved, amen. I want to preach the gospel, help bear burdens, and point folks to Christ, amen. Christ is the answer, thank God. Now listen, you say, preacher, why do you say stuff like that? Because I don't want nobody to lean too hard on me. You start leaning too hard on me. And if God forbid, I've told you this, and I mean, I hope God kills me before it happens. I mean it. But if I ever did fall, thank God, and you was leaning on me too hard, I'm telling you, it'd shipwreck you. You know it. But if you just said that, Brother Kevin, he's flesh and blood. I was trusting Christ anyway. You know what'll happen? You'll just keep right on trucking for the glory of God. You might even come visit me and try to help me get out of it. Amen. I'm saying this, thank God. First, they started leaning on the wrong person too hard. But then I start saying about that. I'm talking about what'll make you be feeble in this thing. How you start leaning on the wrong person. Number 2, verse number 7. How the Bible says, cause at the end of the verse, that because they tempted the Lord. You start leaning on flesh and you start living in sin. You want to know what'll help, what'll zap the strength out of a church? You start leaning on flesh and start living in sin, and all of a sudden the folks who used to be strong, now they're feeble, amen. Yeah. Too much living in sin. Not enough sanctification, amen. Ain't that right, thank God. Listen, I stand amazed. I'm talking about I stand amazed. I stand absolutely dumbfounded. Look here, neighbor. Listen, I'm some of this stuff, it gets in me, and I wish to God I could get it out of me. But some of it gets in me, and I can't hardly shake it. I was listening to a fellow who said he was a preacher, and that's what he said. He got up, and he said, my favorite place in the whole world is, he said, to sit on the beach with a beer in one hand and a Bible in the other. I thought, God in heaven, what? I had to rewind that thing. I had to rewind that thing and say, did he just say what I think he said? And you know what? You know what's even worse about that guy sitting in the pews in that place? Lately, there's folks, they said, amen, preacher. And I thought, God in heaven, what's wrong with us? Amen. Listen to me, friend. That's what's happening is whenever even the priests, the prophets, the preachers, and the Christians, the folks that's supposed to be holding up the banner, when we drop it down, we're in trouble. Amen. Guarantee it. You start living in sin. You talking about something that'll take your prayer life. Boy, I'm telling you, it'll kill it. Smile at me right there. Would y'all smile at me? It'll kill it, thank God. Listen, I'm going to take some of Marcus's sayings and pass them on to Amazing Grace if y'all don't watch it, amen. I'm saying this, thank God. Hell yes, good to be saved, but I'm telling you, we ought to be saved, amen. I mean, there ought not be no, look here, you ought not get comfortable living in sin, amen. Oh, yes. Listen, you start leaning on the flesh, you start living in sin. I want you to watch this, what the Bible says in this verse number 7. Then we'll try to end up in a happier place. He said, he called the name of the place Masah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord. I want you to notice this, friend. You start living in sin. You start leaning on the flesh. And you get to that place in your life when you start overlooking the right person. They asked this question. They said, we don't even know if the Lord's with us or not. Now, wait a second. wait just a minute, let's back that thing up. Hey, said, we don't even know if God's with us. Is he or is he not? I'm talking about they just came out of Egypt. They got high hands. They got silver and gold in their pockets. God just parted the Red Sea, brought them all the way across it. And now they're saying, we don't even know if you're here or not.
I wish I could preach on that a little harder, but I've been guilty too many times. And I'll say, man, like, God, are you with me or not? God, are you? And the Lord's, I preached a message here. Why are you asking the same dumb old questions? You gonna look back at God and say, are you with me or not? What kind of question is that? I mean, he brought you out of hell. Taking pretty good care of you this far, ain't he, Jonah? I mean, he's done more for me in part any Red Sea. How about that? Amen. Listen, the Red Sea wouldn't even make it in my top 50 of things God's done in my life. You say, God ain't done them for me. You wait till you get to heaven, you'll find out God done more for you than what you think he did. Amen. Red Sea? Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah, bud.
I mean, that's good stuff. I'd like to have been there. I don't know, first, you know, jello pie right there. That's where it's at. God congealed the Red Sea. That's what he said. Ain't that what it said? Congealed it. Right there. Jelly. Jello. Salt, gel, that's right. Y'all think I'm crazy, but that's right. That's what he said. First flavor of Jell-O was salt. Amen. Right in that place. Walk right by that thing. Oh, that's something. Right in the middle of it's Leviathan. He's dead and his head's chopped off. Dragon meat on the other side. You say, preacher, I don't remember reading that. You'll have to keep reading. Everything that happens in Exodus ain't recorded in Exodus. I promise you, I'm not an apostate or heretic. What I said, every word that I just said is in the King James Bible. They ate dragon meat. Before they had quail. Is that right? Oh, listen, I done killed the meeting. Hey, but well before they had manna and well before they had quail, they were eating dragon meat. And that's what your Bible says. Amen. Go, you got a concordance, go look it up. Don't take my word for it. Go home, Google it. That's what you're going to do anyway. Amen. I'm just saying this. You get to used to living in sin. You get to used to overlooking the Lord, and it won't be long till you was strong, and you'll find out you're feeble. And when you start getting real weak and weary and you're about to faint, I'll tell you three places you probably ought to check up in your life. Find out if you're living in sin. Right. Find out if you're leaning on the wrong person. Find out if you're overlooking what God's trying to do in your life. Amen. All of a sudden, you won't be near as strong as you was. But that's not the message. The message ain't what happened bad in the middle. The message is this thing ends the same way that it started. In Zechariah chapter 12, he said, even the feeble will be like David. That's a, you know who I'd like to be like in the Bible? Look here, you be like whoever, you be like Samson if you want to be. I'll take David. What a character. I thought about, I'd sure like to have the vision of David. I don't want to be feeble. Oh, David, he said, I shall see thy righteousness. And he said, when I shall awake with thy likeness. He said, I'll be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Boy, I'm telling you, all the feeble, we'll still have the vision. Let me say this to you. We'll have the valiancy of David too. Even the feeble people. You know, I got thinking about all those folks standing there for 40 days and 40 nights. They're standing there and there's a battle down in the Valley of Elah. Nobody wants to go fight Goliath. Nobody. They'll fight everybody else, but nobody wants to fight Goliath. They didn't even team up on him. Nobody wants to fight him. You know why? They were feeble. They were feeble. They had enough strength to contend with each other, but not enough strength to deal with the real enemy. But here comes little David. Right in the middle of that thing. Gets down in the valley. Goes down into the valley of death, if you'd have that. Goes down there and kills him. Comes up with his head. You've heard me preach on this, but he kills him twice. Goliath's the only person in your Bible to die two times. He's going to die twice. That's not true. There's other people in your Bible. I just started thinking about it. Moses is going to die twice. Well, I'm done until I killed everything with that. Amen. Y'all ain't got past the jello. Amen. I'm going to be done with this. Y'all just stay. You know what I got thinking about that I like the most about David? You know, David never did lose a battle. Not one. Now, he lost one at home. But on the battlefield, David was undefeated. Never recorded, not the Philistines, not the Moabites, not the Amalekites, not everybody he faced, not one time did David ever walk off a battlefield saying, that must be what defeat tastes like. Not one time. And the Bible says, on that day, second coming of Christ, he said, all the people that are feeble, he said, they're going to be like David. I wish I could have preached this better. We could have had a time with it if I could have. He said, all those feeble people, that's me and you. He said, they're all going to be like David. We're all going to show up to the greatest battle that's ever been known. And not one of us is walking away a loser. Not one life will be lost. I remember when I was a little boy, I'd hear them preach about the second coming of Christ, and I'd hear them preach about Revelation 19 coming back riding a white horse and the battles that would be there. And I used to think this, Jared, I think, I hope I don't die in that battle. I'd sure hate to make it to heaven and then die in the Battle of Armageddon.
How about that?
I used to think that. That's exactly right. Amen. Let me tell you how the battle's going to happen. Everybody all right? Let me tell you how the battle's going to happen. It's going to happen like this. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to descend. He's going to touch his feet down on the Mount of Olives. That ground's going to split right in between his feet. That's what the Bible says is going to happen. Out of his mouth is going to go something that looks just like this right here. And when it goes out of his mouth, it's going to kill every enemy that stands against him that he once killed. Some of them he's going to bind down. They ain't all going to die right then. But that 1,000 years later, they're all going to die. And look here, I'm never going to do nothing but say that's my king the whole time. I'm going to be like that little feeble fella who just wanted to be like David. I'm telling you this. There may be a time right here in the middle, in this middle section of our lives, maybe a time we may be not as strong as we used to be. Maybe a little feeble. Maybe. But here's the good news. It will end just like it started. Amen. You wasn't feeble when he birthed you in the family, and you won't be feeble whenever you come back with him either. Now, whatever happens between here and here, it's going to happen. But it is going to end the same way it started. We're going to be victorious. Amen. Stand to your feet. I've cleared my heart. I don't know where you're at tonight.